May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, the baptism of the Lord has been an enigma from the very day that it happened. For over 2,000 years now, it has puzzled people. John the Baptizer, who seems to have been born for this very reason, is puzzled when Jesus comes to him to be baptized. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John was baptizing crowds in the wilderness, calling them to repentance of their sins. And here comes Jesus, the sinless one, to be baptized by John. Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus come to be baptized? And what brought him out into the wilderness in the first place? Those crowds of repentant sinners coming to be baptized seem to have signaled that God was up to something in the wilderness, and Jesus came, perhaps, to see what that was. We know that Jesus was often moved by deep compassion for crowds. Imagine the depth of his compassion as he saw these crowds seeking relief from the burdens of their sins. It isn't surprising that Emmanuel, God with us, would submit to this cleansing ritual in solidarity with those who came seeking conversion of their lives. In submitting to God's call to the people of Israel through John, Jesus signals his identification with God's kingdom, God's reign. He exemplifies for us what it means to live under the authority of God's righteousness. And this might be a beginning point of understanding what Jesus means when he says that his baptism is to fulfill all righteousness. I learned earlier this week that some form of the word fulfill occurs 16 times in Matthew's gospel, and it's almost always in reference to a prophecy in the Hebrew scriptures. In this instance, scholars have long connected the baptism of Christ with our passage from Isaiah about the servant who was chosen by God and to whom God gives the Spirit to establish justice. This song of the servant is clear that the righteousness of the anointed one, the Messiah, is found in his humility and his compassion. In submitting to baptism by John and joining in solidarity with all of those who seek forgiveness of their sins, Jesus is showing forth for us that he is the humble servant, the compassionate one. And of course, in Epiphany, that is what we're looking for. Where is Jesus showing forth something for us about God? What is most delightful to me in this is there is a wonderfully paradoxical element to the revelations of God in the person of Jesus. His humble submission today is also the occasion of a glorious and dramatic theophany. That's an appearance of God in the world. The heavens open up as Jesus comes up out of the watery chaos of the river, and he sees the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. with whom I am well pleased. In the baptism of Jesus, he is identified as God's beloved child, loved, blessed, and anointed. In receiving this baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus established the very sacrament in which we receive a new identity. Now, we've always been God's beloved children from before the time when we were born. In baptism, however, we are joined with Jesus in being loved, blessed, and anointed by God. This identity is actually the focus of our baptismal rite. Baptism is our inclusion into the household of God, this household of God, and it is at the heart of our life together. This rite of inclusion establishes a bond with God and with each other that is described in the Book of Common Prayer as indissoluble. In every baptism, we are identified as God's own beloved children, loved, blessed, and anointed. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. So the seal and the mark of baptism establishes that indissoluble bond, a bond which can never be broken or wear out. It is forever. And this unbreakable bond makes us siblings in Christ. And that bond works in our lives whether we're aware of it or not, at all times and in all places. Now, some people wonder why we baptize babies when they're not capable of making that decision for Christ for themselves. Our understanding of the grace that is manifested in baptism prompts that practice of baptizing babies. I mean, we'll baptize anybody else, too, that hasn't already been baptized. But in the past, people rushed to baptize babies for fear that that child would be condemned to hell if it died before being baptized. We now recognize that theology as incomplete in its understanding of God's grace. Baptism isn't some sort of will call transaction that guarantees your ticket will be waiting for you at the pearly gates. The promises of baptism aren't fulfilled sometime out there in the future. Baptism is an ongoing process of being claimed by God and of being enfolded by this household of God. God's promises to us are kept here and now, and we respond to that grace with some promises of our own offered in the baptismal covenant. This Sunday is one of those Sundays the church sets aside for baptism, and we will renew our baptismal vows as a community, as a family of God's own children. Our prayer book encourages this remembrance of our baptism, especially on this holy day of the baptism of our Lord. And we're encouraged in this remembrance also at the Easter Vigil and at Pentecost and on All Saints Sunday and when the bishop comes to town. But I encourage you to recognize and to remember that God's claim on you is each week, every day. Each week that we come here to be fed by the body and blood of Christ, we are to remember that claim that God has on us. Remember that we are nourished and empowered by the Holy Communion to live out the vows of our baptism. Some of us have a practice that reminds us of the grace that we received in our baptism. The water that stands in the font every week is refreshed and then blessed again every Sunday morning before the first service. Take that basin and I carry it outside the door and I pour it out into the garden. That's why it's so beautiful. And I bring the basin back in and I fill it up with fresh water. And then I use the prayer of thanksgiving over the water from our baptismal rite to bless that water again. Every time we enter our sacred space, we have the opportunity to dip our fingers into the font and then cross ourselves in remembrance that we are entering our true home, this household of God, to be nourished and empowered. And as we leave the sacred space, we have the opportunity to repeat that small ritual in remembrance that we are going into the world empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the promises that we make in our baptismal vows. I have to tell you, sometimes I find myself, as I approach the altar on the way in, with a little drop of water that runs down my nose and off to the side. I am personally reminded in that drop of water on my forehead that I am God's own beloved child. And because of that, I have certain responsibilities. And they're not my responsibilities just because of my ordination as a priest. Each of us has responsibilities as children of God because of our baptism. You and I, each one of us, are God's beloved child. Hear that claim on you. Remember that we are all beloved. We are loved, blessed, and anointed. And remember that we are all anointed for a reason. We are all anointed in our baptism for ministry in Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. An apostolic church is one that is sent into the world to fulfill all righteousness. Picking up again from Isaiah's prophecy, the apostolic church is called and sent to establish justice in the world. We are given as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Isaiah's prophecy regarding the work of the servant fits very well with our work of fulfilling our baptismal covenant, doesn't it? The work of the servant is the work expected of the people of God. God intends for us to be people who demonstrate the righteousness of God's kingdom in the world. Like I said, in our baptism, we are anointed for that work. Anointed for the ministry of bringing the good news of Christ to the world. So I have to ask you, how will you fulfill all righteousness? How will you bring that good news of Jesus Christ to the world? How is God calling you to demonstrate the righteousness of God's kingdom? Those may be some of the most important questions that each of us will ever have to answer. How will you respond? How will you respond? Because you are called, and we are all sent to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.